Hello, 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 and praise the Lord. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, Power in the Word. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and it is a pleasure to be coming to you live with this segment of Power in the Word. God is good and worthy to be praised. Amen. I tell you, I've been in the Word all day, and it was hard to come out. I tell you, I was enjoying myself with the Lord. And I do pray that you're having a great day. It is it's April. It's the second week of April, and the weather is fairly nice here in New Jersey. We're still waiting for those spring flowers to burst from the ground, but we know that as seasons go, they come back again, and we are excited about the season that we are in. Amen. Amen, and praise God. Today I want to talk about prayer. The Lord has led me to want to talk about prayer today, and the topic on today is when it seems like God is not answering your prayers. Amen. And I want to let you know that the chat room is open for those of you who want to come in via chat. You can come in via chat. The phone lines are also open. They're always open when I'm here. Although I do have a lot to share with you, I always take time out for our callers. So I want you to know that the phone lines are open. Take down the phone number. It's 646-652-4832. And I want to just go into prayer because I believe that prayer is important before we do anything. So let us pray. Father God, I praise your holy name. Lord, I worship you. You are worthy to be praised. There's none like you, Lord, and I magnify your name today. I declare that you are sovereign. You are God all by yourself, and you alone I worship. I worship you, and I give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for all that I am and all that I aspire to be. Lord, I thank you for this time that you are allowing me to come and do this radio show that someone would call a show and some would call a ministry. But I thank you, Lord, for allowing me this radio time here on Blog Talk Radio. I pray that you get the glory during the time that I am here, during the time that each listener and each caller is here. Lord, I pray that you be magnified in our midst. Oh God, speak to our hearts on today about prayer. Let us know what it is that you would have us to do and how it is that you would have us to do it. Lord, someone needs a word from you. So that is my prayer, that you would speak to the person and the people, Lord, who are coming to hear from you on today. So Lord, bless this time. Bless this time. And at the end of this program, we will be sure to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And it's in the precious name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I should have added, God bless you, Jason, from Blog Talk Radio. I see you there. And it looks like things are going fine. I thank you so much for stopping by. Amen. I want to talk today about prayer. And, you know, we sometimes feel like we know what prayer is, but I want to start by giving a definition of prayer. I looked in the Bible. The first thing that I did was went to Crosswalk. I use Crosswalk on a regular basis, crosswalk.com. And I looked in there, and they under the dictionary concordance, and they didn't really have a lot of in-depth information about prayer. What they did say that about prayer was that to pray is to intervene, to interpose, to mediate, to judge, to intercede, to make supplication, or even your thoughts towards God can be considered to be prayer. Amen. Amen. And then I went over to dictionary.com, the old reliable Webster's dictionary here, and it says prayer, a devout petition to God. And it said, or some other deity, but I didn't include that because here we're talking about a prayer to God. Prayer, a devout petition to God, a spiritual communion with God, a formula or sequence of words used in or appointed for praying, such as the Lord's Prayer, when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. Prayer can also be a petition or a fervent request made to God. Amen. Amen. So there we have it. And so many of us have different methods of praying. Some of us will pray with our eyes closed and our hands clasped. There are others who will look up into heaven and pray. There are others who will kneel and lower their heads. Whatever it is that you are accustomed to in prayer, I will tell you that there is no right or wrong posture, physical posture, for praying. However, there is a right or wrong mental and spiritual posture for praying. When we are praying, we have to be sure that our hearts are humbled before the Lord. Amen. And when we are praying, we have to be sure that we are recognizing that God is sovereign, amen, that God is in control, amen. And another thing about prayer is that we have to make sure that we don't come before God with a guilty conscience, amen. That is why Jesus taught the disciples to pray, God, forgive us of our sins, amen, because we know that when we repent, that God forgives us, amen, and that we are able to come before him with a pure heart and a conscience that is not written with guilt. So make sure when you are going before the Lord that you're going with the right spiritual posture. It's not so much as whether you kneel or whether you stand or whether your eyes are open or closed. Some of us like to close our eyes to get closer to God, to zone out. You know, I like to zone out everything around me. I like to center and put my focus on God when I'm praying. So I will close my eyes. I'll even lower my head in order not to be distracted, to go into a state of concentration, you know, where I'm focusing on the Lord. Amen. But we want to make sure that we are spiritually pure before the Lord, that we have repented of our sins, that we recognize his sovereign, his being sovereign, and that we are humbled before him. Amen. Amen. And I have another definition for prayer. My definition for prayer is you're communicating with God. See, when you pray, you talk to God. That's what I tell people all of the time. And it should always be, there should always be room for God to speak back to you. Amen. So it's a matter of you speaking to God and God communicating back to you through the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we have to make sure that we are allowing God room to speak back to us through the Spirit of God, which dwells on the inside of each and every believer. Amen. And I welcome Prodigal Goddess, to the program. God bless you and peace to you also. Amen. And today we're talking about prayer. We're talking about prayer and it's communicating with God. And I told my husband the other day, I said that prayer is you talking to God. But when we get into his word and read his words in the Bible, that's God talking back to us. Amen. Because God does communicate with his children. Amen. We are the children of God and he does communicate with us. Amen. But we have to open up our hearts and open up our spirits to receive what God is saying to us. Amen. Now, today I was talking about when it seems like God is not answering your prayers. Why do you think we have periods in our lives where it seems like God is not answering our prayers? Amen. And you can chat the answer or call in. The call-in number is 646-652-4832. And I see that Prodigal Goddess posted something about prayer. As I was talking about the definitions of prayer that I have, she said that prayer is going into self and connecting with our true essence, which connects to the all. Okay. Now, as far as clarity, I'm not real clear on whether or not you are talking about connecting to our Father who are in heaven, or is who the all is considered to be for you, prodigal goddess. Amen. But for those of us who believe on Christ, and I pray that you are one, amen. But for those of us who believe in on Christ, we know that we pray to the Father, amen. God the Father, amen. Hallelujah. And we hear or talking about why does it seem like sometimes God does not answer prayer. And I did an extensive Bible study on this today. So I want to go ahead and share some of the things that I've found in the Bible. And God has said prodigal goddess, and has said God is all, amen. And I say that God is sovereign. He is almighty, amen. He is the Jehovah Jireh, great provider, amen. He is our creator, amen. And you're so right. He is everything. God is our everything, amen. And that's why this program is called Power in the Word, because we know that God is sovereign. Amen. He's all-powerful, almighty, omnipresent. You know, there's nothing that he can't do, and there's nothing that is not possible with God. And a great way that we begin to, especially when it's about what we need from God, the great way that we begin to communicate with God is through prayer. Now, I was in the book of 1 Kings today, chapter 8, verse 54. And here it talks about Solomon. Amen. And Solomon was praying in this chapter, 1 Kings chapter 8. Solomon had been praying to the Lord. He had just built the temple. And here he offered up a prayer to God. And 1 Kings 8:54 says, "And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven." And in 1 Kings 9:3 it says, "And the Lord said unto him, I have heard the prayer, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which you have built to put my name there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually, which means 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, always. So, you know, the important thing about this is Solomon prayed the prayer, and God answered that prayer. And it doesn't look like it took a whole long time for God to answer the prayer. As soon as Solomon finished praying and got up, God responded to him and let him know that he heard the prayer, that he answered the prayer, and that he was going to give Solomon what he asked for. But, you know, the first question that I asked myself was, well, what did Solomon ask God for? What did he pray? What did Solomon pray that God was so quick to answer his prayer? Amen. And, you know, I went and I read Solomon's prayer, and Solomon's prayer was all about God. Amen. Solomon's prayer was, God, this is your temple. I built it for your glory. people are going to come here and they're going to pray to you. And God, I consecrate this temple to you, and I ask that you incline your ears to hear the prayers of your people. God, when people sin and they repent and they come here to pray, I ask that you receive them and that you forgive them of their sins. When someone when there's famine in the land, Lord, I ask that you deal with each man according to the condition of his heart. You know, Solomon prayed, and his prayer was not about, God, give me stuff. He didn't ask God for a car. He didn't ask God for a wife. He didn't ask God for riches. Amen. He asked God to be God. He asked God to be God in the lives of the people and in his own life, that would come into the temple to pray to God. Amen. And, you know, the other great thing about Solomon, and this is in 1 Kings again, I'm going to come up to, we're in the Old Testament, but I do believe it's relevant. The other great thing about King Solomon was that he built the Lord's house first. He built a temple for the Lord, and it took him 7 years to build the temple. And then he built his palace, which took him 15 years to build. So, in other words, he put the Lord's dwelling place first. He put the temple of the Lord first. Amen. And I thought that was very, very significant. And also, he took great care. Solomon didn't just throw something together to create the temple. He took great care in creating the temple. I mean, he put only the best into the temple. So you know I'm saying something to you right now. You know that your body is the temple of the Most High God. Amen. You know that your body is the temple. So just like Solomon took great care with the temple, you also have to take great care with the temple. Amen. The temple of the Most High God. And he took great care. And he says here in 1 Kings 6:16 that he portioned off 20 cubits at the rear of the temple with cedar boards from floor to ceiling to form within the temple an inner sanctuary, the most holy place. What's happening with your inner sanctuary? Amen. That most holy place where God, the Spirit of the Lord, dwells. Are you taking care of your inner sanctuary? Can it be called the most holy place? Perhaps that's one of the reasons why you are having so much difficulty, and this is for anybody that it applies to, but maybe that's why you're having so much difficulty having your prayers answered. Amen. And the prodigal goddess says that Solomon was considered the most wisest man of his time because he wasn't afraid to ask difficult questions. He wasn't afraid of the answers either. You know, and prodigal female, that's a great observation. Yes, the Bible tells us that Solomon was considered to be the wisest man of his time. The reason that he was granted such wisdom from God, because we know that every good and perfect gift comes from God. The reason that he was granted such wisdom from God was because when he became king, when he began to reign as king, God told him he could ask him for anything. And Solomon asked God for wisdom. He said, Lord, give me wisdom with which to lead this great people. See, Solomon didn't ask for riches. Again, he didn't ask for gold. He didn't ask for horses and chariots, but he asked God for wisdom, and God gave it to him. And prodigal female, the thing about it is God says that if any man lacks wisdom in the book of James, that he should ask for it, and he says that God will grant it to him. He says, if any man, James says, amen, James says, if anyone lacks wisdom, then he should ask God, and God will give him that wisdom, amen. And again, James says that that person has to believe that he has received wisdom from God and not doubt, because a man who doubts is a double-minded man. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, and that man should not think that he will receive anything from God. And I paraphrase that because I don't have that particular scripture open. But that is a great observation that you made, Prodigal Female, about the wisdom of Solomon. And Prodigal Female says he understood where the true riches are. True riches come from within. Amen. Wisdom is true wealth. Amen. Praise God. And that is the truth. That is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Wisdom is true wealth, the wisdom to be found in Christ Jesus. Amen. And we have a caller. I believe this is Pastor Anthony calling in. I'm going to put him on the air. God bless you, Pastor Anthony. Welcome to Power in the Word.
Amen. It's good to be part of the program today. God bless you.
God bless you. Amen. Yeah, we were talking about prayer on today's ministry program, and I do have a guest with me, Prodigal Female. I had Prodigal Goddess with me earlier, and we were talking about Solomon, how Solomon prayed a prayer and how God answered his prayer. It seemed like immediately. And we're talking about when it seems like God does not answer your prayers, when it seems like God is not answering your prayer. Amen. And I had done an extensive Bible study on this today, and I have so much to share. But the last thing that I shared was that one thing about Solomon is that he prayed, when he prayed that prayer in the book of 1 Kings, it was all about God, and it was all about God's will and his being sovereign. Amen. And nothing about him. It was none about him, just that he would be able to humble himself before the Lord when he came before the Lord in that temple. And God answered that prayer and told him that he would be there. He would dwell in the place that Solomon had built for him to put his name forever. And that
Amen.
His eyes and his heart would be there perpetually. So I was saying, what was it about Solomon that he was able to get such a rapid reply to his prayer? And one of the things that I observed was that Solomon built the house, the temple of the Lord first before he went ahead and built his palace.
Amen.
I don't know if you have anything to add there or if you have any other observations to make about prayer in particular.
I think you just hit the nail on the head there where you said it's how we approach God in our spirit of prayer. One of the things that I love about the Bible is that we have many examples of what we need to do. And it says in Mark 11, verse 23, that believe in God, also believe in me. Jesus is speaking. And he said, if you ask anything in prayer and don't doubt and believe, you will receive what you ask for.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that we can move mountains when we do that.
Yeah.
And a lot of people wonder why that prayer doesn't work for them.
Yeah.
But as you quoted from the book of James, you said something about asking God for wisdom. But James also says in the book of James that we have not because we ask not. But it goes on to say we ask amiss.
Yes.
Meaning we ask with the wrong motives. And God judges the heart always. He judges the heart always, and sometimes when our prayers are not getting answered, we have to go back and assess the heart that we're praying to God for, you know, from.
Yes.
One of the things that I found out in my Christian experience, and you blessed me even Sunday when you said to the congregation, not that I was a dynamic preacher or a great orator or speaker or a charismatic leader, you said he's a man of integrity.
Yes.
A man of integrity. And that thing blessed me because that was not the case for the first 30 years of my life. And one of the things I prayed and tried to pray from a sincere heart, Lord, you know, just try to change the things in me that ain't right.
Yes.
And when people come with a sincere heart, God will honor that. He really will honor that, and he really will begin to move on your behalf, not just in your life, but on behalf of those you're praying for. When you really have the right motives.
Amen.
And I believe God looks at that. And one more comment I just would like to say with his disciples is that they looked at Jesus always going off to pray.
Yeah.
And one of the things they said to Jesus was to teach us to pray. Now, let's look at that a little closer. The disciples, many of them was very religious.
Yes.
They were Jews of that day. So they knew about prayer, and I'm sure they prayed on the regular, but they saw Jesus having an effective prayer life. And what did he show them? The Lord's Prayer. When you pray, pray this way. And it goes back to what Solomon did. He humbled himself and he prayed to the God that makes everything and all things. And when we do that, it make our problems look so small, so trivial. It make our concerns, you know, I don't want to belittle anybody's, you know, concern or issue or whatever they're dealing with today. But whether it be cancer, HIV, AIDS, bills that are surmounting, whether it be you trying to do ministry for God and it's not happening in your time schedule, whatever it is, God is looking for us to come back to him and reverence him and find peace in his presence. And it really would put things in the right perspective.
Amen. You can say that again. God is looking for us to come back and reverence him. And what was the second part of that? And find peace in him.
Yes, that's why Jesus gave the disciples the Lord's Prayer. Because if you look at that prayer, it's all about God.
Yes.
I mean, it's all about God. Keep us from evil and, you know, let us forgive those who trespass against us. It really is all about God.
Yes.
The power of God working in and through us. And that's when I think we can have an effective prayer life.
Amen.
And we'll see the results from God.
Amen. Praise God. So I think you hit it on the head, the nail on the head, when you said we're praying amiss, as James was saying. When we pray, we're asking God amiss. We're asking here in the book of James chapter 4, verse 1, it says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives.
Amen.
That you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. And you know, it's just so significant that we examine the motive. Why are we asking God for what we're asking him for in prayer?
Right. You know, why do you want a house or ministry, or why do you want to fulfill God's purpose or whatever it is?
Yeah, why do you want what you want?
Yeah.
When you're asking God for something, when you're asking for that, like you said, that husband, or that car, or that house, or that big congregation that you want to, we're pastors, and sometimes we want the church to be full. Why do you want it? That's the
Amen.
Thing that we have to ask. Why are we asking God? And Pastor Anthony, we have another call. We're going to put this call on the air. Area code 919, you're on the air. Welcome to Power in the Word.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you. God bless you. Who's calling and where are you calling from?
This is Janine, and I'm calling from North Carolina.
Okay. God bless you. And you know, we're talking about prayer today. Do you have any comments or questions about the topic?
No, I actually just tuned in, so I didn't hear anything that you said thus far. So.
Amen. Okay, so what we'll do is we'll put you on hold, and I'll check back with you a little later to see if you have anything to add, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, God bless you. We have one more call. I don't know if they're coming to listen or to comment, but I'm going to pick up this call. Area code 248, you're on the air. Welcome to Power in the Word.
Hi, I had a question.
Yes.
Okay. You know, I grew up in the church. My father was a preacher and my grandfather was a preacher.
Yeah.
And the funny thing about this is I want to challenge this whole God thing that these preachers talk about. Why
okay.
is it that? Wait a minute. Let me ask my question. Why
well, let me
that?
Ask you one thing. I want to know who I'm speaking with. What's your name and where are you calling
from? Oh, my name is Rick.
Rick.
And I'm calling from Chicago.
Okay, God bless you, Rick. Welcome to Power in the Word. Okay,
yeah.
Now you can present us with your question.
Okay, my question is, why is it that, I'm just going to have to say it like I feel it, why is it that you all make excuses when this God of yours never answers anything, and you get this like this little lucky thing that comes up as a result of your own works, and then you try to say it's God? I mean, and this is just, I'm not just asking this to be ugly. I'm saying it's like this God you guys talk about does not exist because you can't call on him to really do nothing. Like, for example, if you say, okay, God, let's do this. Okay, black people, for example. We in deplorable condition. And we got churches in every major city. I travel from California to Boston on business. And in every church, in every black community, there are tons and tons of black churches. And in every black community, I notice the same thing. Economic slavery and all the rest that goes with that. Why aren't you guys able to call on your God like they did in the book about Elijah with these prophets of Baal to challenge and put up? Why is it that you always got to explain away and say it's us? When is he going to ever put up something? So I'm going to hang up and listen to that.
Okay. God bless you. Thank you for your question. And our brother Rick he's angry, and I can totally, totally understand the frustration when you grow up in church and it seems like, you know, God is just not working for you. You know, I could totally understand that. And he was asking, why doesn't God heal the evils of this land? And, you know, it's not that he can't. It's not that God is not able. God is able, amen. He is able to do all things but fail. But what we have to understand, and he talked about the prophets of Baal and everything and how Elijah called down fire. That was good against evil right there. So I would recommend, Rick, that you take a look at that particular story and see what was going on. But God is able, and he is there for those of us who believe on him. And if you don't believe, you can't receive. You can't receive from God because your enemies are your enemy of the cross. Pastor Anthony, and we do have another caller. Pastor Anthony, you want to say something about that?
Yes, the Bible simply says, and you know, I can really sympathize with the brother and the caller whose father was a preacher and grandfather was a preacher, and some people have seen hypocrisy more than others.
Yes.
And they've seen people saying one thing and doing something else. And, you know, sometimes people are not what they say and preach about. But you're absolutely right. It says in the book of Hebrews, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I wish, you know, I understand the atheist mindset. I understand those who don't believe in God. But I earnestly pray that people, if nothing else, we'll look at the character of God.
Yes.
We'll look at the character of God. Now, God is a God of judgment. And it says in the book of Romans that God has revealed from heaven some of the things that we see in our society through the mindset and the acts of people in humanity. When we talk about HIV, cancer, war, rumors of wars, all the evil of our day, God is a God of judgment. But more than that, God is a God of love.
Yes.
And he gave us the example of our natural parents who love us. But guess what? When it was time to discipline us, would they not discipline us for our own good?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
But our parents, even in the natural, wanted to give us the world. They wanted our faces to light up when they bought the Christmas presents or the bicycle. They wanted our desires to go to college and become what we wanted to be when we were little to happen for us.
Yes.
They wanted the good things in life to happen for us. How much more the God who made everything, we who, like you said, believe in him, the sons and daughters of the God that we are all talking about and believe in, that's why we get the results from God, because we believe, and that's where it starts. I pray that caller, aside from his father and his grandfather, who he may have drawn his present condition from and have come to his own conclusions in life, I pray he stay on the journey to seek God, and
Amen.
God will reveal himself to him in a mighty way,
Amen.
More than just what the preacher is saying, more than just what he sees with his physical eye in the world, what's going on. But if he pray, even today as we're talking about pray, God, I don't believe in you. Show yourself to me.
Yes.
That can be a start for him.
Yes.
And God will do that.
Amen. And Brother Rick, I pray that you're hearing that. I hear that you grew up in church, and you know, sometimes we just have to admit that traditional churches have let us down. And even the churches that we have today, there's a lot going on in the church that's just not God, if the truth were to be told about it. So I don't blame you for not believing. I blame, as God blamed the shepherds, the preachers, and the pastors for not teaching and for not standing up being men and women of integrity so that we can be an example. We're supposed to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So, yes, Christians, if you're hearing this, we need to get our act together because we're showing the world about our God. And if they're looking on our lives and they're shaking their heads because of our sin, so many of us are claiming to be Christians and we're not walking uprightly before the Lord, how can we expect people to believe in the God that we say we worship? So we need to get our acts together. Rick, I don't know what your experience has been, but my husband has given you a suggestion. Maybe if you just seek God for yourself and say, God, show yourself to me, then you too can believe. We do have another caller, and I'm going to put this caller on the air. Caller 443, you're on the line. Welcome to Power in the Word. What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Brandy. I'm calling from Maryland.
Amen. God bless you. Welcome to Power in the Word.
Thank you.
Do you have a comment or a question about the content of today's program?
Well, actually, I just tuned in, and it's my first time ever being on the show.
Okay. Well, welcome. And we're talking about prayer. This is Pastor Rebecca, and my husband is with me. So I'm going to put you on hold and let you listen for a little while longer, and I'll check back with you later to see if you have anything to add. Okay? God bless you. Okay. And Pastor Anthony, it's amazing because we have something going on in the chat room. Yvonne Reese Chong is with us, and an hour to Empower is with us. I want to welcome you, as well as our guest, 158, and I want to welcome you all to Power in the Word, I believe. And Tobias is there also. There's a conversation going on here in the chat room that Brother Rick Young, and I do call him Brother, because I believe that God will show himself to him. Yvonne says that God enables man to change the world. See, we're looking at God to do something, you know, from the sky, but he has enabled us. He's given us all the ability to make a difference in our homes, in our communities,
absolutely,
in the schools, you know, to make a difference. And I believe that if each one of us as Christians begins to go out and be the sons and daughters of God that we're supposed to be, that we again can make a difference in the world. See, it's our goal, it's our mission to change the world. And Pastor Prodigal Female says that the believer's divorce rate is higher than the so-called world's. Then she says, can God save your marriages since you are the believers? Absolutely. If we will hearken to the word of God and obey the word of God, yes, God can save our marriages. But you know what? The thing about Rick and Prodigal Female that you don't understand is that each one of us as believers, and we are believers, amen, we believe that God is, amen, and God will always be, you know, and we believe that God makes the difference in our lives. But, you know, the thing about it, you have a responsibility. God is not going to work miracles in your life when there is something that you can do to make a difference in your situation. So we have to stop pointing fingers at God or stop saying, well, I don't believe in this God because my life is such a mess. We have to really examine our lives and say, you know what? What have I done to contribute to the mess that my life is in? And what can I do to begin to make a difference? Amen. Because God does. You can do all things through Christ, amen, who strengthens you. God does give you the ability to change your situation. We have another call, Pastor Anthony. This switchboard is lit up today.
Amen.
Amen, because we want to hear what's going on out here in the kingdom of God and in the world. Area code 248, you're on the air. Where are you calling from and what's your name?
Okay, this is Rick again. I was told to call. By it, you mentioned Prodigal Female. Is she on?
She is. She's on the chat board.
Oh, okay. See, I was told she was the one that told me to give you a call because she listens all the time and everything. She told me I should listen to it. Well, so I'm not in front of a computer. I'm just kind of listening.
Okay.
When I call. But I wanted to say, I think I might have been misunderstood. I'm not asking about myself. I'm asking about what I see in you all who say you follow Christ Jesus.
That's what I thought.
Yeah,
So now
I'm looking at you. See, like I said, I grew up in the church, so I know all them scriptures you're talking about. So the book tell you that you are living epistles known and read of all men. I know
yes.
that from this memory. So now don't start throwing it back at me when I'm looking at you and I'm saying, you're all tripping.
Did you hear me?
You are divided. You are denominationalized. You all are talking all this different stuff, and we see poverty, abject poverty. This is what I want you to answer for me.
Right.
And I'm not sending it back to me. Well, you're talking about your one self. You're talking about
Let me answer your question.
But you're a pastor. But wait a minute. None of the preachers are in poverty.
Okay.
None of the preachers are in poverty.
Can I answer your question, Rick? Let me talk to you about what you just said. I don't know if you were listening after you hung up, and I'm glad you called back. I don't know if you were listening after you hung up, but I said that you're looking at us. I'm sure that the people in the chat room and the people who are listening live can say that I gave a call for Christians to straighten up their act. You know, we really do as the church. Yeah, we need to get it together as the church. I'm saying that as a pastor. And let me tell you something else about me as a pastor. My husband and I, we're fairly new in the ministry, about 3 years. And we have put everything that we have into the church because we believe that God has called us to do this work. Now, listen, I'm not living in wealth, but I'm not poor. You know, before I became a pastor, I worked 18 years at Merrill Lynch. Before I became a Christian, I was a teenager on welfare. I was pregnant at 15, a mother at 16. I went on welfare. Now, I'm not even a Christian.
Wow.
Let me tell you something. But God, you know, I believe that God even had his hand on me then because I had seen my mother and father go to church. My father came home and beat my mother and got drunk.
Wow.
So, you know, what I'm saying, we're not here because of the money. We're here because we really, really believe in God.
Okay. Let me try to straighten it out because I really don't want to take up all your program.
Okay.
Stuff, but
I'm
going to
give you one more question and then we're going
to
move on.
You know, okay, I make a lot of money and I don't go to church and I wouldn't set foot in the church. I ain't giving no preacher no money.
That's it.
So we can't base it on our relative prosperity.
Right.
But, you know, the fact of the matter is, these are the facts that I want you to really be courageous. If you say you're new in it, then come on, tell me something that I can hear. And I'm going to ask Prodigal Female when I hang up after the show is over. I'm going to ask her if she said that.
Go ahead.
But so, give us some reason to come to that thing when we're looking around and seeing straight out poverty among all of the black people and everything, and you can see blown out in Chicago, in Detroit, in L.A., across the country, in Boston, you see blown out buildings and big, pretty churches filling up everything. Something's wrong with what y'all teaching. Tell me, why should I come to that? Tell me, please.
The only thing that I can tell you.
I'm going to hang up and listen if you don't mind.
Okay, I'm going to tell you.
Well, I'll listen then, holding on then.
Okay, I'm going to put you on hold. The only thing that I can tell you is for your eternal salvation's sake, Rick. You know, I mean, I realize that a lot of preachers are missing it, and a lot of preachers are, as Tobias C., they're turning church into business, and there are a lot of big old pretty sanctuaries, and the old little neighborhood storefront churches are out there. We're in the trenches. My husband and I, we have a neighborhood storefront church, and we're in the trenches, and we have our sleeves rolled up, and we're out there amongst these poor people that you're talking about. And again, I've been on welfare. My husband has cleaned urinals. You know, he's 20 years at FedEx. He still works. Amen. So the only thing that I can tell you is that your soul must be saved from eternal damnation. And I am not preaching hellfire, and brimstone. I am just saying to you that the great thing that brought me into the kingdom of God was that God loved me so much that he gave his only begotten son so that I might not perish, but that I would have eternal life. And the fact that I would be forgiven of all of the dirty, stinking, ugly stuff that I did before I came to know Christ. That's what I want to appeal to you, to know Jesus. I mean, forget about church, but to know Jesus for yourself, for your soul's salvation. Amen. Amen. We have another call. We're going to take this call, area code 573. You're on the air. Welcome to Power in the Word.
Hey, Pastor Rebecca. This is Yvonne.
God bless you, Yvonne. Thank you so much
Hi.
For calling in.
I just had to call because I think you're touching on some issues here, and I hear Rick's anger.
Yes.
About how goofy money messages have been going out there. And, Rick, I want to tell you, you're right. If you see a building filled with glory and no glory in the people, there's a problem.
Amen.
You're not crazy. You're not crazy.
I agree.
God has a plan for prosperity, but you have to understand, God does not love poverty. Jesus Christ did not come so we could be poor.
Yes.
You have to have a balanced money message. We are supposed to prosper. That's money, that's relationship, that's health. And if your prosperity is just money, then you're poor.
Yes, exactly.
If you have no money, you're poor. If you have bad relationships, you're poor. If you don't have salvation, you're poor. But don't look at the institution and condemn God for man's warped messages. Money is a method of navigating evangelistic years. Yes, you have to have money. People have to have money to get by, to be blessed, to be full. But money is not our motive. If you hear a pastor calling money his motive or his end result, he's got a warped message.
Amen. Amen. Yvonne, thank you so much. Go ahead.
Okay. I was listening to this, and it reminds me of so many arguments that I hear atheists. They point to Christians, and they say, I see you say you're Christian, but I don't see Christ. You're right. Stop looking at people. Look at Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Because when you don't see it in the person, don't condemn Christ. It's a person. I can say that I've heard this before. I can say, call myself a Cadillac and stand in a garage.
But you won't be a Cadillac, Yvonne.
That's right. I'm not a Cadillac. I can sit in that church, raise my hands, say hallelujah. I can fall out on the floor and speak in tongues. But if you don't see the evidence, if my fruit is not Christian fruit, I'm not a Christian, and I don't care what I say.
Amen. Pastor Anthony?
Well, she's right on point as far as the Bible. And, you know, even Jesus said, you know, he was hated without a cause. And it's just amazing how they crucified him. But like she said, the gentleman's anger is real. And it is a sad truth in the days in which we're living in. And it is why church attendance is so low in our hour. Where people are saying they're saying it's such hypocrisy, but
not the mega church.
But what I'm saying is that that's why, like I said, you didn't have to defend us, but God is raising up. God is bringing up. That's why he's God. He always has something that is true for the counterfeit. You know, he talks about the false prophets. And, you know, like you said, we're a storefront, we're a new ministry. Yes, we got a work our way from a grassroots level. But it does not negate the fact that there are some churches out here who are prospering, who do have the lights, cameras, and the action, who are men and women of integrity.
Amen.
I just can't talk in general terms to say every mega church is the wrong.
Yes.
Or every mega church is evil. That is not the truth. I can't go by what I see on TVN or what I see on cable or DirecTV. I just know that God has even people at that level who are serving him in spirit and in truth.
Yes.
And I know God has allowed some people to handle that kind of power and wealth. And then there are those who abuse it. But I can't, like she said, you can't point to the ones who are abusing it and justify your actions for not you serving God and worshiping God.
Amen. Pastor, that is just so on point. And the thing about it is we love God because he first loved us. And our lives, our testimonies, are evidence of the fact that God loves us. Like I said, I went from welfare to Wall Street without even knowing and not wanting to believe in God through Jesus. I was spiritual. I didn't think I needed Jesus. But when I heard the truth, that was the thing that began to set me free. And like I said, that I've been through it all, Buddhism, New Age, the power of positive thinking. I went to the Islamic temples. You know, I've looked at every religion out there that you could say, but the only thing that began to make me even begin to believe that there was a God out there who loved me and cared about me was and is Christianity. And I know it's not perfect. We know it's not perfect, but we serve a perfect God.
Hallelujah.
The institution of religion is not perfect, but we do serve a perfect God. And
yes.
God it does exist. Amen. So, you know, I just pray that we've answered some of the concerns that James had. We don't have all of the answers. You know, we don't have all of the answers. We're out here trying to we're making a difference. You know, we're making a difference. One life at a time, we're making a difference, and we're doing it with the right motives. And, James, as I was saying to all of you who are listening, whatever we do for God, we have to make sure that we're doing it for God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm going to have to call back in. I can't even. My phone is actually trying to die, but we have to make sure that we're doing what we do for God. Pastor Anthony, you could go ahead and speak. I'm going to call back in.
Amen. And what you're talking about, your topic, you know, we don't want to get off the topic because your topic is prayer. And prayer really does change the atmosphere. It changes the nature of things. And it absolutely starts with our individual lives. The power of prayer. Even at our church, we have an hour of prayer every Tuesday. It is making a difference. The city in which we dwell is a low-income area. There's crime. There's poverty. But I know that our prayers are making a difference. There are some things that you'll never see as far as your own personal witness of how your prayers are affecting other lives. When you pray with the right motives, just like the Brother James is saying, why do I see, you know, poverty at such a level? Trust me, if you serve one and true God and you pray, that there are many people of the African-American persuasion who are doing well as far as financially. It has not always been that way. If we want to point to examples of what God is doing, we can find many examples of what God is doing and has done. Or we can have the choice of looking at the negatives and the evil of our day and saying, where is God? God is always at work. God is always
Amen.
Present. God
Amen.
Is always aware of what's going on in this world. He knows
Amen.
How many soldiers we're losing. He knows how much black-on-black crime and gang-banging is out here. God knows how many false prophets are saying, Lord, Lord, not serving him. He knows all about it. But it does not change who he is. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen. Amen, Pastor. And, you know, the thing about it is James is upset with the poverty level. And I do believe, I agree, that even the poverty level with some of the communities, black and white communities, I believe that the church is making a difference. Some churches are making a difference. It's not.
Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. So prayer, and also prayer is powerful because we, our church in the community,
in Elizabeth that has been crime-ridden. And we're not the ones out there shooting people. We're not the ones out there selling drugs. You know, the church. Yes.
May I? You know, I'm listening to people say the church is the problem, the church. The body of Christ is the church. If you are a believer, you are the church. So if you're saying you are the problem, go do something.
Amen.
If you don't like what you see, you are the body of Christ, you are the church, you go change it. You do something. The church is people. It is not a building. It is not a building. It is
Amen.
Not an organization. The church is you, the church
Amen.
Is me, the church
Amen.
Is Pastor Anthony.
Pastor, just have one more comment.
Yes.
Because, again, I think a lot of brothers, a lot of people have James, Brother James' sentiments as far as where the church is today. But, you know, he gave the testimony that he, you know, is pretty well off financially and he refused to give his money to the church. But I just want to say, even as an African-American, man, that the church was very influential in some of the opportunities that you and I enjoy today. Although that church, the Civil Rights Movement, was not a perfect church, it was very influential. You know, it was very important as far as changing the direction of racism in this country. And sometimes wealth that we experience from our jobs that we work in corporate America or wherever it may be, we can live in any neighborhood we want to live in now. The church had a lot to do with that. And that was through God. God gets all the glory, but the church also had a very important part to play as far as the advancement of people of color. So I just want to, you know, say to him personally that even his own life, God is at work in his own life. Whether we acknowledge God or not, he is at work in our lives.
Amen. Amen. That says it. We have 3 minutes. And, you know, I came on, the Spirit of the Lord told me to do this program on prayer. And, you know, James, you said you know all the scriptures and everything. We have to know that God even tells us that we need to pray. He says, if my people who are called by my name, again, the church, will humble themselves and pray and repent, turn from their sin, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their nation. So, yeah, prayer is important. We need to pray. We as a people of God need to pray. And also remember that Jesus prayed. He prayed for the disciples and he prayed for those who would believe, even going down through the generations, you know. So we have to know that we need to communicate with God and then we need to be obedient to the word of God. See, we're looking for answers and we don't really have to look that far as Christians. For those Christians who are on the line and those who are on the board, we're looking for answers in all of the wrong places. You know, God left us a big old Bible. Every scripture is inspired by God. Every word in scripture is inspired by the Holy Ghost. And it's profitable for instruction, for reproof, for teaching. So if we would take that word in our Bible and apply it literally to our lives, if we would be what the Bible has called us to be, and if we would continue to pray, then we can begin to continue to make an impact on this nation that we live in. But there are some people who are just going to be evil. There are people who will not believe in this God that we serve. And there are people who will perish, although it's not God's desire that anyone would perish. So I wanted to do this program on prayer, and we're going to pick it up next Tuesday. I'll be right back here talking about, because I have a whole 10, 11 pages of notes that I did not get to today, but we will be back next Tuesday, and we will be talking about prayer. So join us here next Tuesday. Pastor Anthony? Okay, he's not here. Who's still on the call that has any comments before we go off the air?
I just want to say, Pastor Rebecca, I want to thank you for having this, and I want you to know that, and I'm looking and trying to read all the comments, that we love you. God loves you. We don't know it all, but we serve a God that does.
Yes.
And that we reach out and we touch, and in the face of every anger, we remember that God is love and we love you. We care. When people are hungry, we care. I'm not sure what the verse is. It says Jesus wept.
Yes. When Lazarus died, yes.
That's it.
He had compassion.
He cares.
He cared, and we do care, and that's why we're here. I'm not making, you know, I'm here because I love you and because I'm called to serve God. Amen, and we do what we do for God and not for people, but we do what we do for God for people, amen. So we are here serving people for God, this God that we believe in. So we love you. We love you. Yvonne, thank you so much for calling in.
I just had to, just because I've been there.
Amen.
Been those voices in anger.
Amen.
I've been those voices looking at phoniness and thinking that God was phony. But I'm telling every one of you right now, don't look at me. Don't look at any person. If you want to know if God is real, you start talking to him and see if he will not talk back to you.
Amen.
Just talk to him. And
amen.
If you really don't think he's there, then it won't hurt you. You'll
amen.
Just be talking to the air. Talk to him. He will respond. And
amen. And
the
reason that you're
he is God.
Amen. And the reason that you're listening today is because God drew you. He loves you too much just to leave you out there not believing
amen.
On him and to leave you out
amen.
There angry and he to leave you out there with the questions that you have. So he's opened up a forum for you to be heard and for you to hear his heart, that he loves you and he's drawing you. And you continue to seek God, he will be found by you. We still have one caller, 919, on the air. I don't know if you have any comments before we close out today's program.
No, I don't have any comments, but I just enjoyed the show.
Well, God bless you. Listen to us again.
Sure.
We'll be back. I'm sorry?
Oh, there's one verse that's just come up into me where prodigal female says that anyone that asks an uncomfortable question, God has an answer for that in Isaiah. He says, come, let us reason together. Ask
yes.
him.
Yes.
Ask him. He wants your uncomfortable questions. God wants you to ask all of your uncomfortable questions. He says, come, let us reason together.
Yes, amen. Amen, and praise God. And we have to always be ready to give an answer for why we believe what we believe. And we have to do it with gentleness and concern for those who we are speaking with. You know, too many people get confrontational when they're asked about this faith that we have. But we're not like that. We're okay. And we're willing to talk to you about what we believe. Amen. Amen. So for the lady on the line, again, I thank you for being with us today. I'll be back on Thursday with Woman to Woman, where I talk about women's issues. That's Thursday at noon from 12 to 1. And also on next Tuesday, we'll be picking up this topic on prayer again. So Yvonne and also our other caller and everybody in the chat room, I thank you for being with us today as we broach the very controversial topic, you know, unbelief. You know, and even not even unbelief. Yeah, unbelief. That's what we broached today, and also prayer. So I just pray that the Lord has spoken to your heart and that he will continue to speak to your heart even as we go off the air. And I pray that there's something that we have said that makes a difference in the way that you see God, not the church, not the temple, not the building, not the institution, but the way that you see God. So this is Pastor Rebecca Simmons. Signing out.
with power in the word. Remember to make the most out of every single opportunity. And remember my brother, remember my sister, that God loves you, and so do we here at Power in the Word. Peace.